Rest in the Lord. And by the way, I'm sure a few of these we read today, we probably read yesterday, but they're still in the Bible. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, which means to wait with expectation, those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for yet a little while, the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. When we're meek to listen to God, and that's what meekness means in the Bible. Sometimes people hate the word meek because they think you're a doormat and let everybody walk over you. Well, Moses was called the meekest man on the earth. And if you've read about Moses, he wasn't very scared. He wasn't very hesitant to speak up. He's the one that went in before Pharaoh with all those plagues and told Pharaoh to let his people go. He's the one that came down from the mountain when everybody was worshiping a golden calf and single-handedly made them destroy the calf. And he was a very tough guy. And yet he's called the meekest man on the earth. And what was meek about him was he listened to God. He didn't think he knew more than God. That's where meekness and humility come into the Bible, is not thinking your brain and your ideas are better than God's. So the meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Go to verse 34. Wait on the Lord, and again, wait with expectation. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked, verse 35, in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Peace of God is so cool. Yet, I believe it's one of the most underrated and underappreciated things in the world. I love seeing at the end of the year where they come out with these magazine surveys, you know, the 10 richest men in the world, Time Magazine's Person of the Year, the one that had the most influence. And they got all these different categories of life, or, you know, different categories of people. People are the best at this, or the best at that, or the most famous for this, or the most famous for that. Yet I've never seen a list of the 10 most peaceful people in the world. People just don't rate it. You know, I remember one being involved in a Christian group at one point where they rated you every year on your success. And they wanted to know, you know, how many people you got to get in this class and how many people you got to go to this event. And interesting things. But they didn't have any things on the questionnaire for how peaceful were you this year? Are you more peaceful and more trusting God than you were last year? That was never on those questionnaires. And I thought, what's the point? You know, I didn't get into this thing to beat your statistics. I got in here to walk with God and grow with God. So if you do nothing but have a very peaceful week trusting God, you're going to have a great week. Because when you're peaceful and looking to God and asking him to help you, great things will happen in your life. So it's a very important goal to have. I know we all tend to have goals based on numbers of this and numbers of that and success here and progress there, and could be in any part of your life. There's nothing wrong with having success and victory and wanting to have whatever numbers improve, whatever numbers you're counting for success. But don't forget that the peace of God is a great end unto itself. It's a great goal. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Let me see if we finish that. Verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation, the deliverance of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. There will be time of trouble in your life, but that's okay, because God is your strength. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they, what? Trust in him. Okay, let's go to page 8. Here's another real favorite of mine. Psalm 119, verse 165. This is a great day to be inside looking out at the view, isn't it?
Yes.
Some days it's fun to be out and about. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isn't that great? People who love God's word have great peace, because they have the confidence that God will take care of them. They know to look to God for help, and simply nothing offends them, nothing upsets them. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but as part of my job several years ago, they made me take all these psychological tests, you know, to analyze my personality. And then at the end, they took all these tests online. At the end, I had this hour-long interview with a psychologist they hired, and she talked to me, and after reading my test results, she said, "I can't believe your test results. Doesn't anything make you upset?" I've never seen somebody that just so peaceful and not upset about anything. And I said, a couple things make me upset, but not very many, and I try to keep them under control because I like being peaceful. And she said, "Okay," but she was shocked. I guess I didn't know I was a statistical aberration, but I guess she thought I was. At any rate, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Because when you really believe God's going to take care of you, what is there to worry about? Nothing shall offend them. Proverbs 3. So you love God's word, and nothing's going to get to you. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So if you remember God's word, you keep his commandments, you'll get length of days, you'll get long life and peace. Wow. Those are great things to have. There isn't a whole lot of the things in life that are going to guarantee you length of days, long life, and peace. There are a lot of things you can buy that will, you know, might make your car last longer, or paint on the side of your house last longer without peeling, or, you know, there's all kinds of products that'll do this, that, and the other thing for you, and sometimes they work. Occasionally they live up to their claims in the advertising. But nobody can claim something that's going to increase your life and give you peace, except God. Great stuff. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then the rest, of course, we've run. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll direct your paths. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, the gain of it, is, or the profit from it, is better than the profit of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, talking about the wisdom of God, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So when we live with the wisdom of God in our lives, the result will be peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. And Isaiah 26:3, here it is again. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Let's look at it again. I told you we'd see a few repeats. Isaiah Like, who is that family had two sons, named the first one Pete and the second one Repeat? I never actually met them, but it's just a story I heard. You hear these stories. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 32. Peace is great stuff. It comes from trusting God. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. That's what righteousness, being right before God, produces, is peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So having righteousness in your life, and we are righteous because of Jesus Christ's perfect work. And the effect of that is peace in our lives when we choose to think about it and recognize our righteousness. Isaiah 48, verse 18. Isaiah 48, verse 18. Okay, Isaiah 48, 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. He's saying, I just wish you would have listened to what I said. Because if you had, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Ever seen a nice peaceful river just sort of slowly winding its way down? It just keeps flowing. Now I know there are wild flood tides where they get really, you know, really fast and turbulent, but just think of a nice peaceful river just flowing down through its banks. And he said, if you had just listened to me, you would have had peace like a river. Your life would have just flowed. Nothing to worry about. Notice the water always gets out to the sea eventually. It just goes right along. Just wish you'd listened to me, because then you would have had peace like a river. Then go to John chapter 14. Jesus Christ talks about what will happen. And here we get to John 14, verse 25. He's talking about what will happen later after he has departed and ascended to the right hand of God. And John 14 and verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the gift of Holy Spirit, whom or which the Father will send in my name, he or it shall teach you many things. So this gift of Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it shall teach you many things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You see, there's a certain type of peace and certain types of peace you can get from the world. There are people that like to meditate on all kinds of things. There are people that have all kinds of mental exercises to bring you peace, and you can get some peace that way. But Jesus Christ said, the kind of peace I'm going to leave you is the kind you can't find in the world. You're not going to get it through your transcendental meditation or some other technique that a lot of people will look to for peace. I got a better kind. So let's look at this verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And you find this with so many things in life. God has made the human mind and the abilities of the human body so effective, so competent, so capable, that people without God can do a lot. But they're always limited without the Spirit of God and operating the power of God, because that opens up a whole new area of ability and resources that you can't have just with the body and soul man. You can do a lot with the body and soul, but man was designed to be three parts: body, soul, and spirit. And when you have that spirit and the ability to operate the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit, then you can go farther. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. This verse, again, when I was in high school, when I started getting into studying the Bible and teaching it, I remember vividly the day I first read this verse. I was sitting in a chair in my living room, and I was awestruck. I couldn't move. Because look what it says. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. To be justified is to be made righteous, to be made right before God. So much so, somebody says, it's just as if I'd never sinned, because I'm right before God because of the work of Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at it now, decades later, it seems really obvious to me. But at the time, I really didn't think I had peace with God. I thought I was condemned and guilty and a terrible sinner, and God was after me with thunder and lightning bolts. So when I found that I had peace with God, I was awestruck. I still am when I think about that, that through the work of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. The problem is we often don't have peace with ourselves and with everybody around us. And we figure, if I'm mad at myself and all these other people that mad at me, well, God must be mad at me too. No. You have peace with God. It's great if everybody else loves you too. We all like that. And on days where that's the case, we're very happy. We should be. But on days where whether everybody likes you or everybody hates you or half and half, it doesn't matter. You have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have it. So how do we get that kind of peace into our hearts? Well, Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope, aren't you glad he's a God of hope? Hope is positive expectations, expecting good stuff to happen. He's a God of hope. He's not a God of no hope. He's not a God of discouragement. He's not a God of give up and die. Because a lot of times you get to those situations in life, you got to realize, well, I'm either going to give up and die, or I'm going to pray that God's going to help me out of this. I much recommend asking God to help you. Never give up. Of course, you guys probably heard about that story of Winston Churchill after World War II was over and he was no longer the Prime Minister of England, coming to the United States to give a commencement address. That's a graduation address at a university in the U.S. And he got up on stage, looked at the crowd, and said, "Never, never, 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 never give up." And then he went and sat down. It's one of the most memorable commencement addresses ever. Matter of fact, I've heard many commencement addresses. I've heard many of them quoted on the news on TV, and I don't remember any of them. But that one I remember. Just can't give up. Of course, he is credited with helping the Allies win World War II by his sheer tenacity. And of course, there are people that argue about whether he really had that much influence. And everybody argues about everything. But he did an awful lot to ensure Allied victory. And he didn't give up when a lot of other people wanted to. So that's what we do. Romans 15, 13. There is joy and peace in believing. He's a God of hope, positive outlook. expecting the best, never giving up. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. By believing God's word, we have joy and peace, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 6. Romans 8, 6. For to be carnally minded, and to be carnally minded is to have thoughts of the natural man, of the body and soul spirit, body and soul person. To be carnally minded, and of course you know in Latin, carne is the word for meat, which is why if you like Mexican food, people eat Mexican food in Hawaii? Probably. Chili con carne, chili with meat. So to be carnally minded, I call people that do that, they're a bunch of meatheads. I'm not sure if that translates into Spanish well, but maybe you could tell us. But to be carnally minded, to be a meathead, to only think thoughts of the body and soul world without the Spirit of God, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, to be thinking about everything we have in Christ, to look at those things which are not seen, that is life and peace. So we want to think spiritually, not just thoughts of the senses. And Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. We used to say, want a fix? Turn to Philippians 4, 6. I still believe that. This is another one of those verses that has just stayed with me my whole life. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful or anxious, worried, stressed out, mentally distracted, freaked out, generally discombobulated. Be anxious for how many things? Nothing. At which point somebody says, yeah, but you don't know how bad my problem is. If you had my, no, nothing. But don't you know that, nothing. But this is like worse than, nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That includes whatever you're going through right now. It includes whatever you're going to go through tomorrow, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and 2 weeks from Friday. Whatever it is, don't be anxious about it. It doesn't help. Be anxious for nothing. But what do I do instead? Because if your mind is totally consumed with being anxious and being worried and being upset, you got to find something else to do with your brain cells, something else, someplace else to put your attention. And it tells you, be anxious for nothing, but instead of that, in everything, by prayer and supplication, which is making specific requests in prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So whatever it is that's bugging you, instead of being anxious about it, pray and make specific requests for the problem bugging you. And as you're doing it, be thankful for what God already has done for you. A lot of reasons why it's good to be thankful. God tells us to, but it's also very healthy mentally. Because if you take the time to be thankful for what you already have, it's reminding you of what God's done to help you already. And that gives you greater confidence that he'll help you today. Now, if I'm thinking of working on a project with Tommy, and all I can do is think about four times he screwed up and didn't get the job done, which I'm sure doesn't actually happen with him. This is just an example. I'm going to have a hard time believing he can come through. But if, let's say we're working on a project and we got a deadline and I'm not sure he's going to get his part done on time. But then I remember, well, gee, that project last year he came through for me. The project 6 months ago he came through for me. The project 2 months ago he came through. And just last week he came through. And be thankful for that. It just builds my confidence that he'll come through this time too. And the same thing when we're thankful to God. It just builds our confidence that God will take care of us. Hi, guys. Welcome. So let's look at this again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So don't ask me to explain it. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I have had so many times in life where I was worried about something, and I prayed, and I kept praying, and then all of a sudden, I felt like this peace of God coming in like a little fortress and protecting my heart, and just everything went calm. But it took diligently praying and turning it over to God and speaking in tongues and just letting it go. And then the peace of God came in and guarded my heart. That's part of the reason the peace of God is a huge deal to me, because if I'm not peaceful, that tells me there's stuff I'm not turning over to God. That tells me I'm not focusing on God. So when I find myself getting nervous or worried about anything, I just pray and pray and pray and give it to God. And the peace of God comes in, and sometimes the problem goes away. Sometimes God tells me something I got to do to help it go away. Sometimes somebody else shows up to help. But one way or another, it gets fixed. And God will take care of everybody that goes to him that way. He'll work with you in a way different than me, because you're you and I'm me. But he'll find a way to help you that works in your life, that you can understand. And if you're having a hard time making that work, just ask God to help you out. You have the Spirit of God. He can talk to you, and he'll help you. So the peace of God, verse 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that great that he's called the God of peace?
Yeah.
And then Colossians 3, the one I mentioned a few minutes ago, verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it be the ruling thing. Let it be the thing that sort of calls the shots and commands and controls the stuff in your heart. The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, so this peace of God should rule, be an umpire, decide, determine, direct, control your hearts. I'd just like to summarize a few of those. First of all, I want to summarize what we had just before lunch, that if you spend too much time looking at your own life, you're going to get miserable. If you spend too much time looking at others, you're going to get distracted. But if you look to God and focus on his deliverance, you'll end up peacefully radiant. And as you can see in your notes here, I'm just going to read, the meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The end of the perfect man is peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. God's commandments add peace. All the paths of wisdom are peace. Those whose minds are stayed on God, whose mind is steadfast, looking to God, has perfect peace. The achievement of righteousness shall be peace. By looking to God and obeying him, we can have peace like a river. The peace we have is not as the world gives. It's a greater, higher level of peace. And because we're justified by believing, we have peace with God. And we continue to have this peace, knowing we have joy and peace in believing. We think spiritually, not the thoughts of the senses. This peace shall guard your hearts, your heart, and God wants us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts.